Hey, welcome to episode 335 of the Dental Marketer Podcast. If you're a new time listener, I'm your host, Michael Arias. If you're an old time listener, thank you so much for coming back and tuning in to this episode. I truly appreciate it. Guys, in this episode, we are speaking with Jim Gerson, who is the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for CareStack. Now, some of you might have heard of CareStack. Some of you might not have heard of CareStack. This episode, we're diving deep into that part of how CareStack came out to be, how Jim is playing a role in CareStack. Also, we're talking about what he learned in working at Dentsply and Zimmer Biomet Dental as well. And then we also discuss his thoughts on dentistry, how he sees the market changing in dentistry, how that plays a role in technology and so much more. We also discuss why staying small might be the best thing for a lot of us. And not small in the sense of like, we're small, we're only going to make this much profit or production and collection and that's it. But no, being lean and mean, super agile and productive. So we discuss that. And we also talk about his viewpoint on dentistry, what he loves about dentistry, what he hates about dentistry. We also talk about his area of expertise and so much more. So guys, without further delay, here is Jim Gerson. Jim, how's it going?
Going really well, Michael. Thanks for having me here today.
No, man. Thanks for coming on and being here. If you don't mind me asking, where are you from right now?
I'm in Denver, Colorado, but I'm a native New Yorker. So if you hear the accents, you know, you can take the kid out of New York, but you can't take the New York out of the kid.
Yeah. How long have you been in Denver for?
10 years in August, believe it or not.
Oh, okay. 10 years. And then in New York, where were you from in New York?
I grew up in the city on the Upper East Side. If you're from New York, you just call it the city, I guess. I went to high school in the Bronx and got tired of the rat race, you know, just change your lifestyle.
Gotcha. It's a lot slower in Denver.
I don't know about slower. It used to be cheaper, my man, but not anymore. All the Californians are moving here.
I know. They're going to Texas. They're everywhere, man. Like, we're
driving up the prices.
I know. Oh, well, hopefully that'll change soon. But awesome, Jim, man. We truly appreciate you coming on. If you can, tell us a little bit about your past, your present. How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, thank you. So I would tell you that for the last almost 20 years, I've been in the dental space. So I started my career working for Dentsply Tulsa Dental as a salesperson, selling rotary endo in the Bronx back in early 2001, believe it or not. I worked for Dentsply, then I worked for Zimmer Biomet, a large company in the dental implant space for close to 12 years. I moved over to CareStack. I've been here 3 years now. And really what attracted me was the opportunity to do something that's game changing. I know it sounds cliche to say that, but the passion of the founders of this company are to really bring to democratize dentistry and allow the single shingle dentist, the small group practice, to have access to tools and resources that have really only been reserved for large groups, enterprises, and so forth. And so that's kind of the mission that we're on.
That's awesome, man. So you used to work at Dentsply in a specific department, or?
I was with Dentsply Tulsa, so the specialty division. And at the time, just was in the field of endodontics.
Endodontics.
So good old fashioned, when rotary endo was coming to the marketplace. And then professionally, I migrated over and I had a really cool career with a company called Biomet 3i that became Zimmer Biomet Dental, one of the big implant players. And this couldn't be, you know, working at CareStack, you know, we're a nascent company, we're hungry, we're a startup, right? The product's been commercial, Michael, just over 3 years now. Company's been in business about 5. So I really was looking for a kind of a change of pace, and that's what I've gotten.
So you were kind of looking for like a startup.
Definitely. I liken it to this. Like the best parallel I can find is working for a large company in the dental space is like being on an aircraft carrier cruise ship and trying to make a turn at sea. It just takes a while. Decisions take a while. There are a lot of downstream impacts. There are a lot of decision makers. Happens to be more bureaucratic. And I wanted to be in a place where I could work for a nimble, agile competitor or company, because I wasn't in the same space. Shouldn't say competitor. Like CareStack is like a high-powered speedboat, right? We can change and pivot our course. We can make decisions because we're nimble and entrepreneurial in nature. And so that's what I was seeking, and that's what I found.
Gotcha. Do you ever fear though, Jim? Like, what if Kerastase gets super big and then it becomes like what you were going away from?
Well, I think that would take some time, and I don't really see that happening in the near term. Now we've closed over $42.5 million in fundraising in the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. And so we are growing, and we're based in Central Florida. So Michael, if people are interested in working for Kerastase, they should tag us and find us. We're always looking for good quality people who have expertise and have the entrepreneurial spirit in mind. But I don't think we'll get that way. It's not part of our mission and our vision of our founders to be that, massive corporate monolith for sure.
Gotcha. Okay. Awesome, man. So let's dive a little bit into the business side of this. And what would you say, Jim, is your area of expertise?
I think my area of expertise is understanding the dental practice mindset, right? Having been in this space close to 20 years and having called on dentists in individual sales roles. I've been in thousands of offices. I consider some dentists some of my best friends that I have in life. I really think that's one of my strengths, is seeing it from the perspective of a dentist. And why is that important? Because, Michael, Kerastase is 100% cloud-based solution, but it's for the complete manager of the dental practice. So changing your practice management software, and we'll use the acronym PMS, and I want to stay away from buzzwords, but PMS means practice management software. Michael, that's the hardest change in any practice to make. And it's important for your listeners to know that we get that at Kerastase. It's like having open heart surgery for the dental practice. That's the best comparison. And so we understand how significant a change it is. So when you ask me like what I think I bring to the table, it's understanding the marketplace from the lens and perspective of the dental community, the dentist, the office manager, the perspective of someone working in a dental office. I think I really get that.
Got you. Yeah, because I've had people on the podcast who are now bringing up Kerastase, right? They're utilizing it. They're letting us know how it's really, really, robust for their practice. But how do you see, outside of Kerastase, how do you see the market changing in dentistry?
Well, I think it's dictated by the consumer. I'll tell you that significantly. And that's really what's changed in the last year. And what do I mean by that? So, if there's a silver lining to the pandemic, and I want to be careful about that because I've lost loved ones to this and it's terrible, and I don't want to minimize it. But from a business standpoint, from a dental community standpoint, one of the silver linings is that, we've seen patients take control of their destiny in the dental, navigating the dental life cycle. And what do I mean by that? How they look for dental practices, how they set appointments for themselves, how they appoint themselves, how they want to do onboarding prior to coming into their first patient visit. Things of that nature. Patients are asking for more self-service. And I liken it to this. In the old world, it worked. You could go to someone's website and request an appointment. That's like calling for a taxi. And recently I asked my son, he had to go call for a taxi. And he's like, hey, Dad, I'll call for a taxi, but do I get to know where it is and when it's going to come? I'm like, no, that's not how it works with a taxi. You call them and you hope they come on time. This isn't Uber. And Michael, his point of reference is that instant gratification. And dental consumers are the same way. They now want to go online, book an appointment, and get instant gratification. And they want to do this at 3 o'clock in the morning or 11 at night. They don't want to call the office and be put on hold and wait and hope they get the appointment that they're looking for. And so if you're asking me what's changed, I think that the dental consumer has become more of an advocate. And we know this because the utilization, Kerastase offers all these things, and I don't want to make this into a sales pitch. We include online appointment booking. And we can dial in right to your website. Michael, 800% increase in the utilization of online appointment booking since offices reopened. And that goes for patients completing forms like medical histories online and managing, payments and looking at their EOBs, things of that nature. They want to take control of this. So sorry for the long-winded response, but I think that's what's really, changed in the marketplace.
Yeah, I like that example of your kid with the taxi. So like the consumer, right? Yeah, you're right. Instant gratification, convenience is like what? Do you think that COVID changed that or it was already happening?
I think it was in motion because medicine has started that in motion. I mean, I know I can't visit my primary care physician without checking into the patient portal before I go in to give an updated medical history and make sure that everything is valid. And so I think dentistry is typically like the tail of that. But I think that it was definitely accelerated and exacerbated by the pandemic. People being their own champions to a higher degree.
Yeah, I get you. Gotcha. Man, that's awesome. So I want to rewind a little bit and kind of dive into your experience when you were working at Zimmer Biomet Dental, right? You said, and then Dentsply.
Yes.
And things there, what did you learn in these companies, your fields, that you feel like were eye-opening, changing, but at the same time, oh my gosh, like a new practice owner definitely needs to know about this?
Yeah, I think what was eye-opening from those experiences is that how little dental school trained these emerging dentists to manage the business side of dentistry. That was the thing that was really apparent to me, is that they could have had exposure to clinical procedures, especially if they came through a residency, you know, post-graduating, but they didn't know how to manage the human resources element of a business, right? Mm-hmm. How to deal with, you know, how to work in a team environment that's very stressful, right? In a lot of medicine, you're operating on a patient, they're anesthetized, they're out completely. In dentistry, just local anesthesia, right? So you've got to manage the patients, the expectations, how you talk to patients, how your staff talks to patients. Those were things I couldn't believe how ill-prepared. Now, again, this was my experiences 10 or 12 years ago in those companies. So maybe things have changed dramatically, but I didn't really feel like, I saw firsthand that dental schools weren't training young associates to manage the business side of dentistry.
Gotcha. Now, do you see like a little shift in that, or with, like, for example, whenever you're onboarding people with CareStack, do you see a different type of problem or the same problem? Or
we're dealing with doctors at a different lifespan, right? Because we're dealing typically with practices and the practice owners, not the younger associates. So usually it's a practice owner, or it's a, if it's a group dental practice, they might have a C-level person dedicated to this decision. So it's a little bit different. I think the training has gotten better. I think there's a lot of great Facebook groups like yours and others that are helping dentists with the business side of dentistry. And when I started my career, there were those forums, right? The social media outlet didn't exist. So I think there's a better online community to foster this. So I think it's improved, definitely. Yes.
Yeah, 100%. I think the online community has, I think it's helping out a lot of people, but at the same time, I can kind of see how it can set people back a little bit in the sense of, like when you're creating your practice, right? You want to create it because you want to do it and you want to make it the way you want to make it and everything like that. So when you start asking everybody, like, what color should I do? What chair should I buy? What, all these things, it's kind of like, whose practice are you making now? You know, you're just listening to everybody and making it happen. So I don't know. It's a little bit of good of both worlds. You know what I mean? Good of both worlds. But
I would just add that, like, a lot of our clients that are doing startups, and I know you've had a couple of interviews recently with practices that have started up and are working with CareStack. A lot of these dentists have come from associate positions at dental service organizations or groups, and they're getting a better education on the business side of dentistry too as well. So that's changed. So a lot of these you know, kind of organized dental DSOs, whatever you want to call them, are giving the business skills that maybe the dental school is lacking. And that's helping. That's transferable when they go out and they hang their own shingle.
Yeah. Definitely. So then let me ask you, how did CareStack come to be? Like specifically for the new listener listening to this, what is it? What is CareStack and how did it come to be?
Yeah, it's a really cool story. And if I get too long, would you just tell me to shut up? Okay.
No.
So CareStack was founded by Dr. Mark Huzak, who's a wet-fingered orthodontist. And Dr. Mark, as we call him, because he won't allow us to call him by his last name, back in 2015, had a technologist working for him by the name of Abhi Krishna. And Abhi and Dr. Mark were actually working on a sleep apnea solution at the time. And Dr. Mark has a 3-location group called Celebration Dental in Celebration, Florida, which is on the doorstep of the Magic Kingdom. So if you come down to Florida and you want to write it off for a business expense, come find CareStack. We're right across the street. A little plug for us. So we're talking 3 locations, 70 chairs total. So these are big practices, mainly catering to Disney employees. And Dr. Mark and Abhi wanted to tackle a vexing challenge for them, which was they wanted to centralize their practices and be able to have like a shared call center, a shared, you know, back office revenue cycle process billing, right? Among these 3 offices, because they frankly couldn't find a lot of labor. It was 2015, the economy's booming down there. You know, obviously hospitality and leisure, you're competing with those industries. And it was hard to have 3 separate silos for each practice, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So they started out on this journey to find a software that could do this, that could bring everything together in the cloud, that could allow them to centralize And oh, by the way, displace the need for having six or seven subscriptions. Michael, think about it, your home. I know you love your streaming services, right? It was no problem when it was Netflix, but now it's Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Peacock, Paramount. Like, what's next? Apple TV, right? Mm-hmm. At some point, there's a breaking point for the consumer. And that parallel was happening for dentistry. There were five or six different subscriptions that didn't talk to each other, that required separate learning portals, that maybe bolted onto a legacy software that was built in the 1990s, that was server-based, oh, by the way, and you had to manage this whole IT infrastructure on site. So they started out with this mission. Abhi is a software guy. He brought in some other people that he knew from software side, and they started to build something homegrown. And then guess what? What happened is other people in the community started to hear about it and wanted to get on board. And so they wanted to be sort of the alpha evaluators. They wanted a stake in the company. Without boring everyone, you know, where are we? We just completed our Series C financing. We've raised, you know, over $68 million now here in 2021. We're a multinational company. I think that's really important to emphasize that. And that makes us strong. So we've got a big presence in Denver. And then we've got a massive operation in India for engineering, development, architecture, things of that nature. And that's really one of the strong suits of CareStack is our diversity and the fact that we're a multinational company.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay, man. So then all that happened within 3 years?
So the company was founded in 2015 and we didn't go commercial. That means we weren't selling the product until 2018. So 2018 and 2021 is our period of doing commercial business.
So you came in 2018?
That's right.
Gotcha. And then you came in, you heard about all this from who?
I heard about this. There was buzz in the community. I knew people that were connected to this business and it really struck my fancy. Like I wanted to work for a company that were, you know, here's a good analogy to talk about this for a moment. I'm a New York Mets fan. I mean, that's a miserable existence, Michael. Okay. Like my entire life, you know, we won one lousy World Series in my lifespan. And the Yankees have just been killing us ever since. I like the underdog. I like the underdog. I'm drawn to the underdog. CareStack's underdog. We're humble. We're not a massive supply company, and we don't have that backing behind us, right? Think about the landscape being dominated by Dentrix and Eaglesoft, right? And those are owned by the big two supply companies. So I like the fact of being an underdog. I said when we started, we were probably like a fearless ant. And now we're definitely a nuisance for these companies. We're in over 1,000 practices, but we haven't lost our humility. That will never change. And that's really what's at the core of CareStack.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I was going to give an office analogy, but the show The Office, but then...
Oh, yeah, that's okay. I mean, hopefully we're not Dwight.
No. I was going to say Dunder Mifflin, like Dunder Mifflin in like a world of staples and, you know what I mean? But
you're the Scranton branch, right? There you
go. Yeah, you're the Scranton branch. And then I feel like because of that, there's a lot more customer service, right? I would assume.
We have to be because we don't have the reputation. We're not perfect. And you can see that on the online communities. We make mistakes every day. It's how do we respond to them? How do we handle it, right? We know what, and I think our clients, what you'll hear is that we're responsive. We're down to earth. We want to understand the issue. And then the way that the software is grown and the way the company has grown is by client feedback, right? Them telling us what they need. And that's how we've gotten better at every step of the way.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I love that, man. So then one thing I want to ask you is transitioning a little bit to the conversation is what can a dentist or practice owner do today to improve their marketing or business in your opinion?
I think number one, and I spoke about it earlier, is make your practice accessible to your patients. We're not a website development company at all. You know, I know there's many good ones out there. And Michael, you're an expert on marketing, right? I listened to your Triple M, you know, podcast on Mondays, your Monday marketing message. And I think it's really critical. The website is critical. Guys, that has to be locked up and dialed down. There can't be a broken link there. Michael, there can't be Latin under a doctor's picture. We see all these things, right? And patients want to go there. They want to learn about you as a practice, what you do, what makes you different. They want to see you. And I think one of your guests talked about this, right? That you're a real person, that you do things in your free time. And then they want to be able to make an appointment. And they want to be able to do their online forms. So I think practices need to make themselves accessible. Patients don't want to come in and do 30 minutes of paperwork. That's something we've learned too as well. They want to get that done before they see you because people are busy. They want to be able to make payments from their phone. I know that sounds crazy, right? That's a really easy thing to do. They want to bypass the common waiting room on the way in and the way out. And these are things that technology can enable you to do. If for some reason your appointment, something happens in your life, right? And you can do it teledentistry. They want to be able, they expect to be able to do that too as well for consults. So things of that nature, they want to make their lives easier, right? Mm-hmm. Not more complicated. No one wants to handle the dirty clipboard, Michael. No one wants to be handed a stack full of paper when they come in, 5 minutes before their 10 a.m. appointments.
Oh yeah, I hate that. Man, that's the worst. And what I like about CareStack that you guys mentioned is, say there's multiple practices, it's like one practice to that. You know what I mean? There doesn't have to be like, oh, we got to get open dental, three separate accounts and all these other things, right? And then you have to get like a remote type of login. And then from that point on, you got to pay for that too. And you know what I mean? Like how many laptops are going to log on remotely? That can be, man, that used to be the biggest headache when we had, I believe we had PracticeWorks. Are you familiar with them?
I am, yeah. And you're right. And if I can speak to it for a moment from the practice side, the staff members want it, they want ease of use, right? They want to be able to do things from like a web browser session and not have to download software and remote in like you mentioned.
Yeah, like I remember all the time, like the doctor would be like, hey, can you go, when it was days that were closed, can you go to the office, move the mouse, that way the computer can turn on so we can, I can remotely log in through my laptop. And I'm like, I'm going to the office to move a mouse, you know?
That's a good anecdote. Thanks for sharing that.
But you know what I mean, right? Like that's so inconvenient.
And dude, if you're living in Southern LA, that can take you 4 hours, man, right? All you need is one bad accident on the freeway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's why to me, I was like, oh man, this is pretty awesome to be able to remotely log in. Like you can do it through your phone and everything, right?
Yeah. I mean, the experience on the phone is going to be challenging because you have limited real estate, but on a tablet or an iPad, that's ideal, right? For patients though, they can complete forms. It's mobile optimized. They can book online, those things. You know, running your practice, not very easy to do on a phone. I recommend a tablet, a Chromebook, something of that nature. And then in the operatory, you know, you're going to want to use something with processing power, just obviously for clinical radiography.
Gotcha. Okay, that's good, man. So these next questions are just to get into the head of someone who isn't totally involved in the clinical side of dentistry, okay? From your perspective, as a patient, what would you like to see more from a dentist?
I would like to see a couple of things. I think as a patient, I want to see options. I want to see, treatment plans that give me options. Patients love choice. And I'm not just speaking about the CareStack world here, right? So I want to be educated like I'm an equivalent. Don't belittle me and talk down to me, but show me options. What we consistently hear from our clients is they're telling us that their patients want choice, right? Mm-hmm. People like to make decisions. So I think that's the number one thing. And then I think second to that is patients want to experience technology so it can make their life easier, right? So if they haven't done a form and they find out about this while they're in the chair, you can hand them a tablet and they can sign it. And they don't have to get out of the chair and come to the front and do it by hand, something like that. They also, patients want, if they have a pleasant experience, they want to give you a review, but they don't want to have to go and search for it. They want it to come automatically to them. And they also want to communicate to the practice by text message. I really want to emphasize that. No one wants to pick up the phone and be put on hold for 10 minutes or 5 minutes or even 30 seconds. So being able to text with the front desk and have an intelligent thread back and forth, we hear in surround sound that that's really important.
Gotcha. Yeah, I agree with that. Like the text messaging is, even friends right now, to me, I'll call them and then they'll text me like as soon as the, you know what I mean? Like I leave a voicemail, yeah. Like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, just answer the phone. But you know what I mean? Like people don't want to do that as much anymore. So 100% agree with that on the thing. Okay. So then right now, Jim, what do you, and we might've said it already or might've not, I don't know, because of the technology you said, but what do you hate or not like about dentistry right now?
I think what I hate about dentistry right now is that it's the last vestige in modern healthcare where the practice owner or the principal is expected to host their own IT infrastructure on site. And so what I mean by that is my wife is a chiropractor, right? Mm-hmm. And she's got her own practice with multiple treatment rooms. And she uses a software that's cloud-based. And she has no, she doesn't have a closet that's dedicated with servers, wires, and cables, right? Mm-hmm. And then we talk about other aspects of medicine, whether it's a walk-up clinic or an emergency care facility. They don't have a dedicated server closet. Why is dentistry like that? I mean, there's no reason. You can have, separate from your practice management software, you can manage your imaging in the cloud too. But it seems like there is like a stranglehold in the dentists. And I don't know if it's the companies that produce the technology, or it's maybe because dentists are, there's a fear factor and there's fear mongering out there, right? Hmm. But they have to build these rooms that are dedicated to like the, you know, the stack of servers, right? And all the, you know, Cat 5 cables, right, Michael? I mean, that's, every practice has one.
What's up with that? I never thought about that. Well, I know there's like IT for like TVs and, you know what I mean? Computers and things like that. Like literally, like they need like, you know what I mean? Like a server or like a, what is the,
yeah, we're getting
like
to a server. Point now, even, you know, we're getting to the point now, even if you have a cone beam or 3D, that you can reduce your footprint significantly. So I think it's a lot of it is some of it's head trash, some of it's fear mongering, some of it's fear of change.
Fear mongering in what way would you say?
You know, people going out there and saying, okay, ransomware is out there, playing on people's fears, right? And using that as a reason to make a decision. And when you talk to CareStack and you have any kind of interaction with our team members, that's not how we do business. We believe in equal business stature. We talk to prospective clients. And really, I think what's fueled our growth, Michael, is that it may not be a yes today. You might not say yes to CareStack. You might be saying no, but maybe it's a no for now and not a no forever. If I keep you whole and let you end the conversation when you want to leave, you're going to say, hey, those guys at CareStack are good people. And maybe my business circumstances change. And that's what's really propelled our growth, is keeping people whole in the decision-making process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So then do you think, because I mean, like there is such thing as ransomware, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like we've seen that. So how would that be different with a good IT company compared to not having those servers and everything like that? Like, would we be left on our own with the ransomware?
Yeah, or? I would tell you a good IT company, and I'm going to drop a name, and if you want to edit it out, you can. But I think of someone like Dark Horse Tech, for example. That's a good IT firm, and we've collaborated with them. You know, way that they protect your data, the way that they're using firewalls, and how they're the level of ethics that they take is a really good approach. They're like, you know, you need a good IT partner. We're not someone out there that says that you shouldn't have an IT partner. You definitely should have an IT partner. One of the nice things about CareStack is that nothing resides on your local network or server. All your EHR information is hosted in the cloud. And by the way, we're in the Microsoft HIPAA compliant government cloud. And that is really important. So, you know, there's really two principal players in the cloud computing space that people say kind of are the top upper echelon. They're Amazon and they're Microsoft Azure. And we've chosen Microsoft. And so where your data is encrypted at rest and in transit, and we have multiple instances of CareStack in the cloud with Microsoft. But definitely don't want to underestimate the value of a good IT player, because I think that's really critical.
So then why did you choose Microsoft over Amazon?
I think for our business, the scalability is really important. And we just feel like the ability for it to scale and consume resources depending on the bandwidth that's being utilized, we just had a better experience with them, you know, working in that capacity. So what I mean by that is some early versions of cloud 1.0, and not naming names here, you would get that kind of grinding effect at 4 o'clock Eastern time, because the demand was so significant for day end closeout on the East Coast. And then businesses were really getting busy on the Pacific Coast. And that doesn't happen with CareStack. So based on demand, we can scale automatically and there's no disruption in service.
Gotcha. You know, you bring a point out about that room with all the servers, because I mean, square footage is money, right? In a practice.
Right.
So like the more we have, you know, oh my gosh, another op can fit in there, even better, right? There's the production right there. I never thought about that. I never thought about all those servers. It'd be interesting to have like, you know what I mean? Like a roundtable discussion, maybe with Ruben from Dark Horse, you, and you know what I mean? Kind of talking about that maybe in a later episode. That's awesome.
Definitely. I mean, it's something, it's people think about it, right? Because a server is a massive expense. It's anywhere between $7,000 and $9,000. And those servers, if you get 7 years out of them, you've been blessed.
The
average lifespan is 5 to 6 years. So it's a significant investment for a practice to think about.
That's true. All right. So then Another question I wanted to ask you is, what do you love right now about dentistry?
I think it's an amazing profession for women. That's what I love about dentistry. I love the fact that this marketplace is, the dentistry is ruled by women. It's awesome. And I say that because my wife is in chiropractic and I wish she chose dentistry. It's one of the few medical professions, right, where people will see you when it's convenient for you and not them, right? Patients will come in at 11 o'clock in the morning or 2 in the afternoon. Whereas in chiropractic or in other types of retail medicine, they want to come in the evenings, early mornings. So I'm a little bit biased there because my wife owns her own chiropractic business, Michael. Mm-hmm. But I think it's an amazing profession for women. And over 50% of dentists are women. So I think that's an amazing trend to have, is like just the participation, the diversity. You see it in the communities. And that's great because that means that it's more accessible to everybody, right? I think dentistry has gotten much more accessible to the masses in the last 10 years. And certainly when I started in dentistry, if you live like in a lower socioeconomic area, when I started in 2000, your only option was like a local dental school to get treatment. That's not the case anymore. So I think the access to care and the participation by women is really what I love about dentistry.
Gotcha. Okay. And then what to you needs to change for people, like the general population, to be more open to dentistry, right? So as to like back then, you know, or maybe not even back then, maybe yesterday, people are like, oh, you know, I don't really like the dentist or the drill, all these things, right?
Right.
Reasons of why not to go. So to you, what needs to change for people to be much more open as to like, I got to go to my cardiologist, I guess, you know what I mean? Like a regular physical checkup.
Let me start with the pet industry, Michael. People spend more on their pets than they do on their oral health. It's a bigger industry. It's a bigger marketplace in the U.S. as an example. I also think that people, they'll treat getting an oil change to a higher degree than getting their, you know, biannual hygiene appointments as another example. So I think part of it is that I'm going to get on my soapbox here for a moment. I also think that the way that we organize and we lobby as an industry needs to be better. And I'm going to point the finger at the ADA. If you look at what happened in California as an example or other states during the lockdown, why was dentistry singled out? You know, why could you run a liquor store or another type of business, but you couldn't go see your dentists? What kind of strain did that put on the tier one hospital system, right? I mean, that just made no sense at all. And I was very disappointed in the collective response from the American Dental Association. I think that's a real opportunity moving forward, that we need to be better advocates for ourselves in dentistry and keep dentistry open. The prevalence of coronavirus being transmitted, you know, think about it. What office is better at managing infection control than a dental practice, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they know what they're doing. And so I thought it was really short-sighted and I was disappointed. I thought the ADA did not play enough of an advocate role for dentistry. So I'd like to see a little bit of a more cohesive national lobby in protecting dentistry and making sure that, you know, something happens like that in the future. That's my soapbox for you. I hope I didn't go off on a tangent.
No. It was good. It was good. Yeah. You're right. Do you feel like if a scenario like that happened again, it would be different or the same?
I hope not. In our lifetime, and you're younger than me, Michael, is there a chance for a pandemic again? Probably, right? Hopefully not. And we've advanced the treatment of disease enough, but I would think that we would be better advocates for dentistry because it really, the patient base suffered. It had a kind of a fall-on effect, right? We clogged the emergency room with people that were having, you know, treatment that could have been done in a dental practice, frankly.
Yeah, that's 100% true. Like there was so many times where, honestly, it was something where, I mean, it's never really happened before, a worldwide one like that. So we're just like, I mean, at this kind of day and age, so we were just, everybody was a little bit lost, you know, like what do we do? What should we react? There was all types of information being thrown out there about we should go to the office, we shouldn't go to see the dentist, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, yeah, I would hope that, I mean, I hate to say this, but I would hope in the next scenario like that, everything's handled a little bit better. There's protocols, and I'm pretty sure there's more protocols.
Well, at least you know you'll be able to get your booze if there's another pandemic, right?
That is okay. That is
I live in Colorado. The dispensaries didn't even close, Michael.
Are you serious?
Marijuana. Yeah, no problem. Go get your weed, but you can't go. You got a toothache, too bad. Go to the ER and wait in line. Crazy.
Wow. Man, I didn't even know that. Dispensaries.
Yes.
Wow. Man, Awesome. So, Jim, thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure. But before we say goodbye, can you tell our listeners where they can find you and anything else about CareStack?
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad we're ending on something other than my discussion on dispensaries. So I appreciate that opportunity. You know, in the show notes, we have a link here where you can go request a demo of CareStack. And just for listeners of this podcast, Michael, we're going to provide a 10-day trial. So a lot of people have said, I want to get, you know, into CareStack. I want to play around with it. We're happy to do that. Just bear in mind, you're not going to have any PHI in there. You're not going to have real live patients. But if it helps you evaluate the software, go on there, schedule a demo. Let's give you a free 10-day trial evaluation of CareStack. You can decide if it's for you or not. And that's okay. Because if you say no today, maybe it's a no for now, not a no forever. The one thing I do want to emphasize for your listeners is, you know, and we didn't talk about this in the open, is that CareStack can allow you the freedom, right? We can displace the need for all these competitive softwares and subscription fatigue and really free you up from the challenge of training new staff members on 6, 7, or 8 different softwares when it's in one place with CareStack. And oh, by the way, save you a ton of money in doing so. But Michael, you have to have a change mindset, right? Mm-hmm. You have to want to make a move away from what you're doing and embrace the fact that there's going to be a little bit of fatigue in your muscles because you're trying a new exercise routine. If you've been using one software, like you mentioned, PracticeWorks for 20 years, and you switch to CareStack, it's not going to be like it's going to be effortless. You've got to put effort into it. And so what our clients tell us are the ones that make the moves that have the most success are the ones that have a change mindset and are going to be fully engaged and bought in. I just want to make sure that's kind of my parting thought to your audience today.
Gotcha, man. We appreciate that. We truly, truly appreciate that, Jim. And guys, if anybody's interested in CareStack or anything like that, definitely go in the show notes below. It's going to be the first link in the show notes below. You can click on the logo or the link to try them out. Contact Jim. I'm going to put his information in the show notes below too as well. You guys have any questions or concerns? And we look forward to seeing CareStack grow, do amazing things. I know right now, I know a lot of you might have heard about CareStack from other people and on the podcast and how it's helping their practice out. So you can definitely reach out to them too, find them on the episode, or you can find Jim also on the Dental Marketer Society Facebook group and open discussion. You can talk to him about CareStack or anything that he mentioned about the dispensary or anything like that.
No, I'm not going to go off on that. Please, thank you.
No, but we truly, truly appreciate it, Jim. Thank you so much for being with us. It was a pleasure and we'll hear from you soon, bud.
Sounds good. Thank you, Michael. Likewise.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Like you heard, if you are interested in CareStack, if you just want to try them out for free, go in the show notes below, click on the first link. It's going to say like a free trial. And then you can even click on the CareStack logo if you want and definitely check them out. They are a sponsor of this podcast now. So we're truly happy to have them part of the family, part of the TDM tribe. So guys, you always get an exclusive deal with them. If you are trying them out for free and you're like, you know what, I want to sign up with them, you get an exclusive deal. So go ahead in the show notes and check that out. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. I truly, truly appreciate it. And I will talk to you in the next episode.